Thank you. Good evening. My name is Tom Berlin. I want to welcome you to Florence United Methodist Church for this Good Friday service. It's going to be a very special service. Good Friday is a service that's held around the world. Christians gather to remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross. It's a solemn day. It's a darker service. It's a darker time. And you sort of feel that as you enter this space. Tonight, our orchestra and our choir is under the direction of Dr. Yoon Nam, who is our choral director here at Florence United Methodist Church. We're just so grateful for her leadership and also for all of the just the wonderful service that the orchestra and the choir are providing tonight. I want to ask you to go ahead and express your appreciation of them now. And I've asked you to do that now because they've asked you not to do it later. At a Good Friday service, it's tradition that we don't applaud, that we don't interject in between this music. But the music is going to be beautiful. And because it's going to be beautiful, especially in this our environment, you're going to want to do that. But tonight, let's allow this to truly be a time of worship and a time to receive and take in. But let the music and the readings, we've got wonderful readers who are going to be sharing the scripture with us tonight, let that take you on a journey from the arrest of Christ to the time following Jesus' death on the cross. That's what Good Friday is about, is that space of time. Tonight, at different times, you'll be invited to stand and sing. You'll know when to do that because it'll be on the screen, or Yoon is going to stand and tell you to, as you're able, stand or sit. And so that's how you'll know how to follow along. Just be attentive to what's around you and do that as you're able. At this time, when you leave tonight, we invite you at the end of the service when the music is complete and after the passage in Isaiah is read, if you would like to stay here and pray, that is an appropriate way to conclude the service. Some may pray longer than others. And so it's also appropriate that when you depart, you just depart in silence and therefore allow this space to be a place of prayer for those who remain. And that's how we'll conclude tonight. If you've never been here before, we can be a bit of a rambunctious service. That's why I have to do all this preparation and help people. They become overcome with joy. And so at this time, there is a prayer that you, a liturgy that I'd like you to join in. That liturgy will be on the screen in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to please stand as you're able, and let's join together in our opening prayer. Blessed be the God of our salvation,
who bears our burdens and forgives
our sins. For us and for the salvation of all people, Christ became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Eternal God, in the cross of Jesus, we see the cost of our sin and the depth of love. In humble hope and fear, we place at His feet all that we have and all that we are through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now remain standing as you're able, and let's join in our first hymn.
When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it.
Now Judas, who had betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials of the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them,
"Who is it you want?"
"Jesus of Nazareth."
"I am he."
When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them,
"Who is it you want?"
"Jesus of Nazareth."
"I told you that I am he. If you were looking for me, then let these men go."
Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear.
"Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?"
Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?"
"I am not."
It was cold. The servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings.
"I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues or in the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said."
When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
"If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?"
Then Ananias sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing still, there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?"
"I am not."
One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover.
Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?"
"If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you."
"Take him yourselves and judge him by your own laws."
"But we have no right to execute anyone."
Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?"
"Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What is it you have done?"
"My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place."
"You are a king then?"
"You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me."
"What is truth? I find no basis for a charge against him. But is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover? Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?"
"No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face.
Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for bringing a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man."
As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!"
"You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for bringing a charge against him."
The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have the power to either free you or crucify you?"
"You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend to Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar."
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king."
"Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!"
"Shall I crucify your king?"
"We have no king but Caesar."
Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Thank you.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews."
"What I have written, I have written."
Dolorosa, all the way.
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. So this is what the soldiers did.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her,
"Woman, here is your son. Here is your mother."
He was wounded.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said,
I am thirsty.
A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said,
It is finished.
With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the sin of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the sinners. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for us all.